I'm new here. Is the sermon next? Is that what's happening now? I had a bit of a shock on that. I went to print my sermon. I was working on it one last time about 9 a.m. and I went to print it. Came out blank. I can read that to you if you'd like. Maybe we should go on. Celebrations of Independence Day. How many of you are prepared to have a big party? Yeah, we're real wild things in here, aren't we? I'll tell you what. I live next to a park, and the firecrackers have been going on for weeks already. We never buy fireworks at our house. All we have to do is walk out front, and there are plenty of people, hooligans, firing off all kinds of munitions. It's a bit unsettling sometimes. I don't know if you are aware, but fireworks can be hard for returning veterans. Veterans of recent conflicts, that it sounds enough like gunfire that it is not comforting. I had cousins who had fought in Vietnam. My brother and I went out to celebrate with our firecrackers, and we got an earful. We went further out of earshot and continued our mayhem. But I pray that no one is injured, and I pray that our fireworks do not remind us of glorifying war, but remind us of sacrifices made. And I pray for the wisdom of young people with fireworks and young people with guns. May God mend our every flaw. Amen. Today we celebrate this beautiful nation. This is an awesome, beautiful, and July with all of this rain has brought things to grow that I did not know grew. There are amazing things happening. Are your gardens burgeoning as well? Are your plants beyond imagined? And lawns growing. I thought my lawn had turned into a prairie, but it is now a full-blown lawn. Purple mountains, majesty, amber waves of grain. What a beautiful nation, and what lush harvest we are promised amidst the fruited plain. Sound like familiar words? I hope so. Well, let's pray that God will crown our nation with brotherhood and sisterhood, I suppose, in this day and age. We celebrate that. Our scriptures today were unusual for a reading for Independence Day. You know, some churches don't have anything to do with Independence Day or state national holidays. They focus otherwise. But our scripture was an unusual one for this choice, wasn't it? What did you think of that Old Testament scripture that Richard read? Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael. There's these two brothers. You remember that Ishmael is the firstborn. Sarah could not bear any children, and so she told Abraham to go to Ishmael and have a child so that there would be some children born. But then God opens Sarah's womb, and along comes Isaac. I wonder if what kind of fighting was going on. There's allusions to a division between them. We don't really know much about them. Do you think that the brothers were quarreling between each other? Have you ever known brothers that didn't quarrel at some point in time? How many of you have a brother or a sister? Did any of you ever quarrel? Neo is grinning from ear to ear. I don't know what that's about. So quarreling happens. It's an interesting thing. Regardless of how we are, who we are, there is division. There were times I could not stand to be around my brother, my kid brother. And there are times that I have missed him to the depths of my heart. It's an odd human condition, isn't it? But that division that occurred, the two brothers divided, the firstborn Ishmael And we heard the story of Abraham taking them out into the wilderness, sending them out with only a loaf of bread and a jug of water to drink. Ishmael will go on. And we don't read about that study that much, but he is the father, it is through him, of the lineage of the Muslims comes. The princes of Muslim, of Islam. Isaac, of course, will bear Jacob and have the 12 tribes, and he will become the father of Israel and our inheritance through Christianity. So here are the two groups divided and with one father, Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. I just can't resist going into that every time I read that. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm not going to sing anymore, I promise. I'm going to stop there. But here, two groups, two united groups, divided, and yet with a common heritage that ties us, and with whom God is with both. Did you hear that? When Abraham is concerned because Sarah insists that they cast Ishmael and Hagar out into the wilderness, God says, it's okay. It's okay, I'm with them. It's all right. So God is with Ishmael and Hagar. God is with Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. God is with both sides. That's a good thing. So we turn to Matthew. What a wonderful scripture. Wasn't that wonderful and uplifting and just heartwarming? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Oh, my goodness. It just doesn't sound like Jesus. I know, you know, he's walking around carrying a baby lamb. I'm sure he's singing lullabies to the baby lamb. Lover of the children, don't stop the kids. Let them come to me, the Jesus that's sweet and warm and heals and cares and loves. And here he says, I have not come to bring peace but a sword. I think Matthew just got it wrong. That's the easiest way to explain it away, but the reality is that we are not students enough of the Old Testament to understand some of what's happening here. How many of you are tremendously familiar with the Old Testament? I didn't see a single hand go up for those of you who are watching over the internet. How many of you know how many prophets there were? 17. I'll give $100 to any of you that can name all 17 right now. I'm not sure I could pull it off right here. I might be able to. I'd get close. But there is the prophet that Richard read this morning, Micah. You've heard of, and we're going to go to that slide in just a second here now, Stephanie. Are you ready? Are you ready, Miss Stephanie? Stephanie's running the PowerPoint this morning. Paya is ill. Prayer for Paya. Prayer for Stephanie. Here's Micah. And it says, for the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies are members of your own household. Thank you, Stephanie. Jesus knew that scripture. We didn't know it, did we? He's reflecting that. He's remembering that. He knows that scripture, as would good students. All of the people that were listening to him, they would have known that scripture. And it reflects on how, yes, there is division. His prophecy reflecting there is conflict, there is division, there will be division. Families divided, one generation against the other. But Jesus brings good news. It's good news that's in the middle of that Old Testament, and he just reflects it. God is with both sides. God is with both sides of the division. God is with Ishmael and with Isaac, with Jews and with Muslims, with Democrats and Republicans, with hawks and doves, with male and female, with black and white and brown and tan, and I guess I can't get green in there anywhere, can I? What else can I work in? I guess yellow is a color of some of God's created people. God is with all. Even amongst the division, God is with all of those divided. Neither Melba nor I went to our annual conference this year. I am retired and didn't want to go. But the schism has widened. Some churches have now, what's the term, divested? Disaffiliated. There's a political word if ever there was one. Some churches have left this conference, this denomination. They're forming their own denomination, and I tried to figure out which churches and where and who they were. There's not a list that I'm aware of. Have you seen anything? No. My heart breaks because some of those churches I know. And the bishop wrote a note about that. She reflected on hearts broken. Is this fresh water? Does anybody know? Living water. Whoever put this here, thank you. Was that Melba? Grace to you, my sister. Thank you. The bishop wrote in her letter that her heart was breaking over the division. And she prayed peace, even as those disaffiliated. And she prayed God's presence and love on all the peoples. God is with both sides. And if the peoples, regardless of where and which denomination, which affiliation, if we are about doing Christ's work, then amen, we'll do it. I hope that this July 4th is kind of a day of unity. Are there people that don't like to celebrate the 4th of July? I don't know. I tried to think that through, and I think it's pretty universally, nationally, it's a pretty good holiday, and everybody gets on board, and lots of firecrackers and eats and carrying on. Unity, amen. Pretty exciting. I don't imagine it was at the very beginning. Can you imagine being members of the colony? And the king, was it King George II? What was the king in 1776? George III? Melba says it was George III. I'm not going to argue. I don't know. But you might have been a family of people, faithful members of the colony, acknowledging your monarchy, the king. And all of a sudden, some people jumping up and said, we need to split off from them. I guess I haven't preached in a while. My voice isn't holding out. I yelled at Melissa plenty. Not enough, I guess. But you can imagine families in that day and age when all of a sudden the division comes. Are you going to be loyal to England, or are you going to be loyal to the new America? A lot of the Methodist clergy, the Methodist Church, was in its founding days, and Methodists had come over from England, and Methodist preachers had come over from England. Almost all of them left when the division erupted. Almost all of them had to depart. They would have been tarred and feathered had they not. They knew that the division was deep, and people were pretty wound up about the whole thing. And the division, can you imagine it? Sitting around the dinner table, mother against daughter and father against son and stepdaughter against mother, stepson against father. Division. And yet somehow out of all that division, we are now allies and friends and all is well. I don't think they celebrate the 4th of July in England. Anybody know? Has anybody been in England on the July 4th? I imagine they know what it is, but I don't think they celebrate it. But that's okay. I have to think about that and think about how we are about being united and how we are about being one people in God. And some of the struggles to do that. Do you ever struggle being with people that are different from you? People with whom you might disagree, people with different opinions, God forbid. I have one little bit of advice that I learned inadvertently in seminary. One of the classes that you take in seminary is theology. So theology talks about all the... You remember Mark's sermon? He talked about a bunch of theologians on Father's Day. Fathers, spiritual fathers. And he named a whole bunch of different theologians. Some of them you probably knew. Did you? You went over Zwingli, didn't you? You pronounced him differently, but that was okay because we got Zwingli in there. But there were all of these different theologians with different ideas, conflicting, agreeing, disagreeing, all of the different points in that. And in theology class, the teacher decided to kind of do kind of an oral test for all of us. She set up what's called a fishbowl. Hold on. All those flowers, God bless them. She set up a fishbowl, and in the center of the room, there were four, five, six chairs, and each one had a name on it for a different theologian. And she asked for volunteers. She said, somebody sit in each one of those seats, and let's discuss theology. And you're going to discuss it from the point of view of that person whose chair you're sitting in. You get the concept? So here are these five or six different theologians, and you would sit in and you would argue. And well, I knew that grade probably depended upon that, and I'm kind of a shy individual. I hate to be in front of a crowd of people. That was kind of a joke, but also kind of a true statement. At any rate, there were all the different chairs, and I decided, well, I know this one theologian pretty well. I really agree with this one theologian. I don't remember who it was at this point in time. But at any rate, I thought, well, I'll jump in. So I tapped somebody on the shoulder, and I sat down, and I realized that I had picked a different theologian than I thought I had picked. So I had sat in the chair of someone that actually I didn't agree with very much. And I sat there, and I looked at it, and I looked around and I said, I think I sat in the wrong seat. And everybody started to laugh. And I said, but, and I took on that persona of the person whose seat I was seated in. Seated, the one where I was. And so I had to argue from that theologian's perspective, although I disagreed with it. It was enlightening. When we walk in another person's shoes, it may change us. It pointed out to me that sitting in this theologian's shoes, I could see that perspective and understand and at least respect that perspective. There is division. Yes? You need to say yes in response. Let's try it. There's division, yes? Hey, we got her there. All right, I'm still learning. I'm new here. And out of that division, we need to figure out who and what we are and whose we are. And that's what Jesus ends up saying. Whoever loves father or mother, son or daughter more than me, is not worthy of me. Not worthy of me. Love one another. That's all it's called. That's where it is.